this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. What a program we have for you this evening. Yes, the world is getting weirder every day. Let's begin tonight, close to where I'm broadcasting, down in South Carolina. This story comes to us from Rock Hill. It's a story about a woman who said something like a poltergeist was possibly haunting her home. Now imagine this. Single mother of five children. She said she started hearing all kinds of eerie thumping from the attic up above. Even saw nails start popping from the bedroom ceiling. Pretty spooky, huh? Finally, she was able to get the gumption to go up there and see what was happening in the dark attic. There she found what looked like sort of a bed packed with old coats and jackets. Even some old sonic styrofoam cups full of urine and feces. Turns out, there wasn't a ghost up there. A man had been living in her attic. Her ex-boyfriend. The kicker is, she broke up with him 12 years ago. That's right, for 12 years, the boyfriend had been living in the attic, keeping himself alive, sneaking out, picking apart food from the kitchen here and there. How weird and creepy is that? And now he is on the loose. He is at large. He's being tracked down. They say he'd even cut a little viewing hole above her bedroom so that he could watch her over the years. Ugh, pretty twisted, huh? Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, another very creepy man, Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. 12 years. That's probably as long as I've known you.
That's true, actually. Imagine 12 years of just... how talented do you have to be to stay hidden that long?
Exactly. It's like... I guess you just learn the person's schedule and routine,
right?
And you just make your entrances and leave.
You know what that reminds me of? George Norrie likes to tell this story about this little girl who was telling her parents that a clown would come past her bedroom door at night. And, you know, talk about an eerie situation. The parents didn't believe her. Turns out eventually, yeah, I think, wouldn't he turn?
He would turn her, put his finger out of his lips and go, shh,
I just want to look at you. And this went on for, who knows, months, until she finally convinced her parents to take this seriously. Same type of situation. Some crazy person had broken into their house, was hiding out in the attic, and he had rummaged through and found their Halloween costumes. So just in case somebody were to see him, he didn't want to be identified. So at night, when everybody except the little girl was asleep, he would put on the clown mask and go creeping down to the kitchen to get leftovers and things. See, we're getting geared up for Halloween here, man.
We are.
And what a group we have for you tonight. This is such an exciting weekend. Of course, last night, Paranormal Paparazzi premiered my new TV series on the Travel Channel. We had a huge party. It was a great success. It was a blast. We're going to be talking about that a lot more in the future, however, because we've been off the air for the past two Saturdays due to a ball game. So we got a lot of catching up to do. And as if that weren't enough, just taking the pile of news stories, we have a special edition, a special report here, based upon what we had planned with Mr. Mobius about 3 weeks ago, something like that. Now, of course, Investigator Shelley Wright, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
You were here on the air with us. Shelley Wright, Wright's Coin Shop. Are you ready for the Halloween season to get kicked off?
I'm ready.
Well, Mr. Mobius, of course, he is our friend. He is our associate producer. He is a correspondent. And he made arrangements to go out and cover for us the Star Knowledge Asheville 2012 conference, along with the ever-lovable Kuka. And the two of them, they took the mission, and we're going to talk a lot more about it because it turned out to be everything and more that we hoped for. But they are here in the studio with us. Mr. Mobius, Kuka, welcome to the show. You guys had a wild time, right?
Fantastically bizarre wild, yes.
Okay. And you know, but the great thing about this program is we are so classy. We are so advanced. We are so multicultural. We have such a global perspective on events that sometimes we find, just to take it up to the next level, just pop it up one notch, we need to have our correspondent from Europe, from across the pond. He comes from that faraway land where the women aren't picky and the weed is sticky. He is Rob from Holland, buddy. Welcome back to the land of the free, the home of the brave.
Always nice to be here. You know that one.
And you always pick the best times of the year to come here. So.
Yeah, well, according to you, you know. me and Halloween are not that.
But the weather's been pretty nice,
oh,
huh?
Absolutely.
Can't complain about that.
Loving it.
And so now, what is the weather like right now in Holland, Rob?
Cold today.
Is it cold already?
Yeah, they got a lot of rain as well. But we had here some bad rain, actually.
Oh, no kidding. See, I've been sort of popping in and out of town myself.
I know.
Yeah, but, well, we're glad to have you here because the last time you came on the show was before we were syndicated.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, we weren't even sure the show was going to continue.
Remember
we
that?
We thought we were going to go off the air. Turns out we were able to reorganize everything, and now we're heard by more people than ever.
I was there on the last show.
Were you here for the very last one?
Yeah,
So you were one of the people crying, hugging.
No, I had to go believe in you.
Well, we're glad to have you back here, and I want to talk to you all tonight about some of what you've been up to since then. That's been close to a year ago, I guess, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was Halloween like our last show of last year? That
yeah,
was Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay. See, Halloween's just one of those crucial times for us. So anyway, let's get down to brass tacks here. There's a lot to talk about tonight. I've got just stacks and stacks of stories, and I'll just tell everybody right up front here. I am so grateful for you, Mobius, and you, Kuka, helping immensely with the research that we do these days for stories. I've had so many projects going on. I'm relying on you guys more than ever to come up with stories, and you have done such a fantastic job. You have actually selected a stack of Dark 30 material tonight that I've been scratching my head over for about 2 days. I'm not sure how I'm going to read some of this stuff. But it's not your fault. The world has just finally gotten to the point to where even with my great skills of insinuation and euphemism, it's going to be tricky to talk around some of the topics in the dark 30 hour tonight. This might be the darkest dark 30 hour we've had all year.
Yay.
yes, you've achieved your goal. Congratulations. All right, well, let's just go ahead and start talking a little bit about this Star Knowledge Asheville conference. And we don't have to just start and talk nonstop about it. You know, we can kind of go back and forth because you've got all these talking points. Basically, for 3 days, you guys were exposed to every conceivable concept of mysticism, spirituality, interdimensionality. I would call it a bona fide mindgasm that you probably experienced for 3 days at the Star Knowledge Asheville Conference. Is that an accurate description of what you experienced? Okay.
Very much so.
So have either of you ever been to anything like this before?
Never.
Never.
So Missy Hill and her colleagues lived up to every expectation, maybe even exceeded some.
Yes.
Well, okay, we're going to take our first break here in a couple minutes, but give us a little bit of a teaser for, like, set this up for us. What was it like to go to this big, amazing event on, what, like 30 acres of property, right? Something like that?
Large campground.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what you found when you arrived there. What was the general impression?
Lots of people. A lot of Indian elders and chiefs.
Right.
People like Laura Eisenhower and her husband, Dr. Dream. And I definitely shout out to the two Donnas who facilitated and created this. They did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
But you had multiple theaters, multiple venues, ceremonies going on all the time. It was almost like a mini Woodstock.
Right. And so, okay, well, a mini Woodstock. And when you were there, and we'll tease this a little bit, it's my understanding that not only did you meet some people who were introducing you to all kinds of weird perspectives, but you saw some crazy UFO activity.
Yes, with Missy Hill.
Let's get your mic a little closer to your face. I want to make sure you're clear on the radio.
Okay, with Missy Hill, had a night vision session.
Right.
And I'm still trying to understand things that I saw. So I will describe this later.
Yeah.
But it was off the charts weird.
See, that's really impressive because if listeners do not know, you are Mr. Night Vision. I mean, you know everything about night vision. Paratemporal Night Vision is a company that you and I started to help get night vision goggles in the hands of paranormal researchers. And so when you say you've seen something that blew your mind, that's a big deal because you've been out there looking at the sky a lot for years now. So let me just tell you all, everybody listening to this program, just kick back, relax, pour yourself a nice beverage, call the friends, tell them to tune in. We are happy you're spending your Saturday evening with us from coast to coast and everywhere in between. It's going to be a special edition tonight, and who knows the directions our conversation will go. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. The show that digs into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange. the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Coming at you from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Taking you on a mental journey tonight. Maybe even you'll have your own little mind-gasm as you hear about the things that have been happening lately in the world. Crazy stuff. And we're taking a global perspective. In fact, you know, I just read a story that came in from Russia. I'd never heard this before. Apparently, below Russia, somewhere in a crater, is a diamond that is trillions of carats. Have you guys heard this before?
This is the meteorite impact story.
Yeah. Trillions of carats below a 35-million-year-old, 62-mile diameter asteroid crater in eastern Siberia. The Russians have known about this since the 1970s. And they claim that they've actually been sort of keeping this thing a secret, because if they release this, the value of diamonds will just plummet. I mean, we're talking about enough diamonds in this one spot here to supply all the markets on this planet for 3,000 years with nonstop diamonds. Isn't that just amazing? That right here, I've heard about like stars and stuff that are made of diamonds out there. But what a strange situation for Russia to be in charge of this. Do you know anything else about this, Mr. Mobius? This is, you said you'd heard of this before?
I think they're twice as hard as normal diamonds.
Right.
So they think they are going to be great for using in commercial applications.
Wow. Amazing. Well, what does that do for a woman to hear that? You feel a little tingly, ladies?
Oh, yeah.
Something happened
yeah.
inside you when you hear about an unimaginably huge, sparkly thing.
Yeah.
We're glowing ourselves. Yes. We're very excited about
we
it.
We just looked at each other, and I looked at Shelly, and I was like, thumbs up.
You missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the old saying, if women are as smart as men, why are they so impressed by shiny objects?
Sure.
I got to jump in here.
Okay.
Just, you know, diamonds are not a rare object. It's the De Beers Company gets in there, and they pretty much any like diamond market that opens up, the De Beers Company or other companies that control the diamonds, they get in there and they price fix everything. So it's going to happen. I don't think it'll do a little to the market maybe initially, but it's just going to be price fixed just like everything else is, because diamonds are actually a pretty common object in comparison to like gold or or platinum or any of these other metals or minerals that are available on the planet.
Rob from Holland, what is the most impressive gemstone you have either purchased or owned?
Mm-hmm.
Anything come to mind?
No, not really.
Really? You're not into shiny things? Your women don't expect that of you? You buy them?
No, never did. I give them a silver ring. That's good enough as it is.
Here, I'm with you.
Make sure that I'm not a vampire or something. That's why I like to give them a silver ring.
Even better. I love it. See, yeah, that's why my wedding ring I got my wife cost $15 in Mexico. Now, right. Shelly, you don't look very impressed with this conversation.
No.
Well, what's the most impressive gem you have purchased or owned?
I don't know. I have a few things. I don't know. I just... I'm actually a garnet person. I love garnets, and I love emeralds, and sapphires, and diamonds.
Well, you know, I have a huge star ruby. I can't remember how many carats it is, and I still own it. I'm thinking maybe I'll take it on tour, charge people just to stare at it. So amazing. All right, so, yeah, that was in Russia. You've been to Russia, haven't you, Rob?
Yeah.
How is Russia?
Depends on the time of year.
Well, I've heard that everybody's really depressed there. Is that true?
No, it's not totally true.
Really?
No, if you get enough vodka, you get...
Now, honestly... Granted.
The damn thing is, I've been in the north of Sweden, north of Norway, when the sun don't shine in the day. And that is in a lot of parts of Russia as well, because it's pretty north up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in harbors where there were no sun in the whole bloody winter. And there's only one day to get not depressed, and that's called vodka. No, honestly, and in the summer, it's actually just as weird. I mean, you sit outside with a few friends, have a drink, and say, okay, hey, it's getting a little dark, let's go buy a treat, and it's 3 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And 3 seconds later, it's getting light again, because there is no night at that time of day. You know, it's weird.
Well, you know, earlier this year, I was in Romania, and a lot of the people there have a drink called palinka.
Yeah.
You know what palinka is?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, frequently it would be taken before and after every meal. You take a shot of palinka. Right. Breakfast included, you know, breakfast.
I know.
Everybody's really relaxed all day. I love it.
Real good atmosphere.
Yeah. I miss palinka. Palinka and Tweeka. You do too, don't you, Shelley?
I really do. Yes.
My next pet will be named Palinka. Well, you know, speaking of diamonds, crystals, shiny things, I think I overheard you say, Kuka, let's get your mic right. There you go. And you can pull it over to you. It's all right. It won't bite you. I know it's a very intimidating, dragon-like object.
Yes, it is.
You were told you were made of crystals?
Yes.
Really?
I was referred to as a crystal child.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why they said that they believed that I was a crystal child is because I was talking to somebody about certain weird things that I'm able to do. Some people might call it like psychic abilities, and other people might call it something else. And I was talking about that, and they came to the conclusion that I was a crystal child, and I don't know very much about what it is, but apparently it's people born especially with extra DNA or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any freaky little things we should know about going on there? Little extra things hanging off of your body? A tail?
Possibly. I don't know.
Well, now, do you have special abilities?
Yeah, some people might call it psychometry.
Right.
Lots of psychics throughout my life have told me specifically psychometry, so I asked, like, what is it? And Mobius actually gave me a license to touch, and after a while, he's like, say anything that comes to your mind. So I pictured this car, and I described the car and the color and even the angle that I saw the car in, and apparently it was an old photograph of his mother's cherished car that he buried in between the pages of a Bible with her.
Wow.
She nails these things over and over.
So when your mother died, excuse me, my allergies are getting me this time of year, when your mother died, you buried her with a Bible that had a picture of a car stuck inside of it.
Some of her favorite memories, and she described the picture exactly.
Taken from the same angle and everything.
There's no way. I mean, she was so exacting that it was frightening.
And you had what, a license in your hand,
yeah,
you said?
Well, like
a you gave Kuka your mother's driver's license, and that was what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That was my first time trying.
She's done this over and over again.
So, what have you ever, actually, you know, come to think of it, I've seen you hesitate to touch an object. You want to tell people what that object was?
It was the statue.
Yeah, make sure you're talking to the mic there.
What was the statue called?
The alien, the Art Bell alien.
Wasn't that the one? Yes, that was.
Yeah, it was Art Bell's. Have you seen Art Bell's alien?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. He's 5 feet tall. He's 100 pounds. His name is Carville. That's the name Rush Limbaugh gave. And it stuck. And for those who are listening who don't know, the alien that Art Bell kept right there at his studio for decades doing wonderful shows is now in the Asheville Mystery Museum, right here at the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. That's where all of our haunted Asheville tours go out of. In fact, we have a new vampire and occult tour, which I'll bring up a little bit later, which is really cool. But anyhow, some people, I should say the reason we have that statue is because Art Bell said that his family was afraid of it because it was moving around at night. And even since I've had it, the thing moved once between the time I left the museum and came back. Now, when you walked up to that statue, what did you feel? What happened to you that made you not want to touch it?
It's really hard to explain. It's sort of like this sort of feeling. Like maybe you could walk up to somebody and they might not say anything to you, or they might not even look at you, but you get this feeling like,
back off, like, don't come near me, like, you know what I mean? Like, sort of just a bad person.
Really?
Yeah, and it kind of...
Like the alien thought you were bad, or you thought the alien was bad?
That they're bad.
The alien's
not
bad.
Me.
Okay.
So, sort of just like a, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want, go away, like, just sort of like negative, like, sort of like a pushing off feeling. It's really hard for me to explain.
Carville was PMSing that day.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I think, actually, Shelley, you have some weird feelings around Carville as well. Maybe we'll touch on that. Hey, if you're online as you're listening to the show, be sure to go to speakingofstrange.com, and you'll find a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, wild news stories from around the world, links to stuff like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours at hauntedasheville.com. It's the time of year. Make your reservation right now. Come check out the new Vampire and Occult Tour and see some of the artifacts that I brought back from Transylvania. We will continue talking about all things esoteric and mystical, including Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. Did you know that President Eisenhower's granddaughter has something to tell all of us about aliens? I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Studio with producer Forrest Connor. We have Mr. Mobius. We have Kuka. We have investigator Shelley Wright. We have Rob from Holland. And we are discussing all kinds of stuff tonight. The conversation can go anywhere. And one thing that we are sort of filling you in on is some of the stuff that Mobius and Kuka are reporting on regarding the Star Knowledge Asheville 2012 conference, a three-day event. And it took place right there at the Fall Equinox. So now, Mobius, we have had on this program as a guest Laura Eisenhower. And she is the granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. And, of course, Eisenhower, he is one of our most important presidents for many, many reasons. I mean, for one thing, he was in charge of most of the operations in World War II. And that makes it even more interesting that he actually publicly sort of termed the military-industrial complex. And some other things you don't hear so much about. I think there's like the academic-industrial complex. And he's looking at these sort of almost incestuous relationships that can take place between businesses and government agencies and whatnot in our country that make it easy to cover up things. And so who knows how similar she may or may not be to her grandfather. But you got to meet Laura Eisenhower in person. And she, on this program, told us that, you know, yes, they're aliens, that we're covering them up. I mean, pretty standard line of like, yeah, duh, you know, they're here, they've been here. Tell us what it was like to meet her in person and what, since it's fresh on your mind, that you learned about that.
She is an extremely nice person. She is also very strong-spirited. She speaks about her grandfather that after his presidency, he had 8 heart attacks because he was so stressed out about the knowledge he carried. And she has made a decision not to allow this stress to come down to her. So she speaks about these subjects. She speaks openly about her belief in aliens, that there are hidden agendas, and she wants to fight them. And she believes in the people, in the heart, and that we have infinite power, that we have to focus on the inner divine and allow it to come out, and that for us, anything is possible. So her message is not a negative one. It is the most positive message you could ask for.
You know, here's what I find a little perplexing and sometimes a little confusing about people like her. And what I mean by that is, okay, you have these sort of two schools of thought about the alien agenda. One is, okay, these are guys, these aliens, they've come here from another place. They're having meetings with our politicians. They're working out secret deals. They're flying crazy technology around. They're abducting people. They're experimenting with people. They're infiltrating our diets and our livestock and all that. But then you have the people who look at it from the other perspective of, well, they are enlightened, enhanced, superior spiritual beings who are more in tune with the harmony of blah, blah, blah. She kind of like puts those together, right?
Right.
Now, do you think that they deserve to be put together, or are these things that sort of seem contradictory?
She finds that certain parts of her history, all the way back, indeed have a negative and a positive alien influence. She's able to explain these separations. She does not necessarily agree with the directions our government have gone. I should also speak about her husband, Dr. Dream, because they work so effectively together.
Dr. Dream.
Dr. Dream.
Okay. A superhero.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they basically take you from the beginning of recorded history of human beings all the way up to the present, and they explain things. It's very multidimensional. There seems to be a family of this belief system, along with the Indian elders who are now sharing their Indian knowledge. And so this family is called the Star Knowledge Family. So it's very amazing to sit back and listen. But yes, not everyone totally agrees. There are differences in people's opinions. There are very little negative ideas toward the aliens as they look at them from the Indians. They believe the star beings to be highly advanced, and they just don't have, from what I saw, the negative impressions that some of the other people saw. That actually created a little bit of a conflict between some people.
So now, Kuka, after listening to her in particular,
mm-hmm.
If the aliens, quote-unquote, invaded tonight, okay, if we see a commotion outside, we walk outside, guess what? Today's the day. Would you be afraid, or would you feel happy and rejoice?
Well, I kind of have my own, like, you know, personal belief or, you know, about what I would do if something like this were to happen. And I feel like even if there was, you know, a more advanced people or, you know, being that came down and presented itself to us, I don't see any reason to worship these people or to follow them or to trust them or anything like that. So I wouldn't really necessarily rejoice, but I don't know. I guess I would be a little bit scared because I don't know what they're capable of and I don't know what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess I'd just kind of be like,
Well, you know, speaking of that military-industrial complex, Now, Rob is a guy who is from Europe. Since the U.S. has been, you know, a dominant military power for so long, really since World War II now, do you think the sense is in Europe that that the U.S. government might be covering up more of this type of information about extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, whatever you want to call it, than the Europeans have access to?
I think so, yes, absolutely. I think we're pretty convinced. We also think that the Russians might be might know a lot more than we do. And the biggest source of information will be the opening, the Vatican. And I mean, we're pretty sure that the Catholic Church knows far more than they want to know, especially because, what was it, 2-3 years ago, they wrote in their paper that in case there would be aliens, they would be also children of God and they would be welcomed.
Right.
So, apparently, or they're covering themselves in and say, okay, in case we are wrong, we already said so, you know.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it might be because they definitely know something.
Well, you know, I find it interesting that it seems like every once in a while, some European country at least pretends that they're opening all their UFO files.
Yeah, England does.
We don't even pretend that here. So do you believe that when these other countries release or claim they're releasing files, do you think they're really doing it?
I never know. I think they only let you know what they want you to know.
Sure.
I mean, it's easy to cover up and say, okay, this is what happened, but we're not sure. It's always, we're not sure.
Yeah.
Pilot saw something fly, but there's no confirmation of it.
Right.
Then it's easy to say to the public, pilots have said they saw something flying. But it's still no proof.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring up Russia because recently I read a story about a filmmaker who did some documentary about Fidel Castro. Mm-hmm. And apparently at some point Fidel Castro very openly admitted that he had gone to Russia, and I think it was Khrushchev that he met with. And Khrushchev, to honor him, took him down into some facility and showed him a flying saucer and aliens and whatnot that the Russians had, and he reported this in a very matter-of-fact way, and I've never heard anything else about Castro being especially given to paranormal stuff, so it seems a little bit more credible, actually.
Well, it is a shame when you went to Romania, because I met a guy on a summit from the NATO, and he was from Romania, remember?
I do remember, yeah.
Yeah, and he was telling me that they had a UFO, and had to cover it here first in copper and in concrete or whatever, because nobody could touch it.
Yeah.
They couldn't get near. First they had the help of the Russians, so the Russians apparently knew about it, and then they had the help from NATO, being the US and all the other countries. And one big cover-up, because there is something, but we don't know what to do about it.
Well, you know, Romania was communist up until 1989, so that the ties there were pretty tight between the Russians, and that would make some sense. We're coming up here on another break here in a minute, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Mobius and Kuka, because we have a list here of things that we're going to get around to, but I just want to jump right into what, aside from the UFO you saw, which we'll get to next hour, what did you see there that really blew your mind? You know, like, what really... And I know you saw a lot of mind-boggling stuff. But let's start with, like, if you had to pick one, what's one that surpassed your expectations and was something very different than what you thought you were going to get? And then from there, you know, we're going to talk about vortexes. We're going to talk about labyrinths. We're going to talk about tools that are used by some people to connect your mind and your body and your spirit with the divine cosmic energies of the galaxy. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a very special edition tonight on Speaking of Strange.
You buy 100 pounds of yeast, that's a copper line. Everybody. Yeah.
me take you down, 'cause I'm going to strawberry fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry fields forever.
We are now in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a special edition of the program. We are just jumping all over the place because you're getting sort of a report here on the Star Knowledge Asheville Conference and whatever else that we decide to stumble on here, since we haven't been on the air the past couple of Saturdays due to ball games. And as a matter of fact, next Saturday there will be another ball game. And so now I say that only on the East Coast because basically if there's a ball game and our East Coast affiliates air that, then we usually play best of on the West Coast. But I'm so used to just doing a West or an East Coast show, sometimes I forget that we have other listeners out there now. Sorry, folks. Okay. Before the break, I ask you, Mobius, I know there's a whole list of interesting stuff that we're going to talk about in hour number two, including your UFO experience. What was one of the many programs you saw that really surprised you?
I think Kuka and I would have to agree that a performance by Grandma was the most unexpected that we experienced.
Okay, now who is Grandma?
I believe she is 26 years old. Mm-hmm. She is disabled.
Mm-hmm.
She is not vocally able to communicate. And she came on stage. She has a handler who's able to communicate her thoughts. And they had a 5-minute meditation where she was said to be projecting to people telepathically. And it was just very unique and intense to what you experienced and saw happening. Kuka, you want to describe it?
At the beginning, they kind of basically told us basic things about her and how she works, and then they handed out oils that you're supposed to apply to your forehead so that it's supposed to help her be able to connect with you better by using these oils.
You were anointed.
Yeah. And and then they want you to meditate, and a lot of people got certain visions, like images of animals and shapes and stuff and colors, and then everyone is able to raise their hand and ask what the meaning behind of what their image was, and she will communicate back to them about what that image means, or what they need to do, or what they need to work on.
So did either of you have an experience? Did you get a telepathic connection with her?
I did not. I tried,
yeah.
But I didn't.
Mobius?
I was shooting 5 hours of documentation, so I was not able to participate on that
right.
level.
Sure. So is that how much you got total, 5 hours?
I've got 5 to 6 hours.
And do you think we're going to be able to see this at some point?
Yes.
Okay, wow. We'll figure out what the details are with that. Because you guys are struggling because you have said that some of the stuff at the conference cannot be described. It has to be seen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's pretty cool. I mean, that says a lot. Now obviously, when you've got a selection of people who are thinking outside the box, they're going to be pretty eccentric. And would you say that the attendees were just as eccentric as the presenters, or was there a difference in the attitude of the people who attended and those who were presenting?
It was very different in a positive way. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's outside the norm of what you would expect, say, in the middle of a downtown Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there had a sense of family. They were colorful. An example might be Raja, who comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him, and he gave me the impression of looking at Dumbledore. He had his long white beard. He had a huge wand, and he was having so much fun. And the way he interacted with people seemed to bring out just so much creativity. And he was working with a lot of people there, helping them to experience their higher selves. He was a lot of fun. Just seeing that was fun.
We've got about a minute and a half before we take our break here for the top of the hour. What is the Paradigm instrument?
It looks like a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
It gives off low frequency to high frequency sounds,
mm-hmm.
and actually vibrates either a room or a table. So it's a very strong acoustic device, and it's used to treat ailments or open your chakras. And the guy who did it, his name is August, and it's just such a unique device. And we do he was everybody there. We have unprecedented access. Everybody gave us great interviews. So we have this device being used that we can show in the interviews we had.
Did either of you use it?
No. Again, I was more in the sense of behind the camera documenting.
Right. Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, I think, what, Tricia McCannon, The Lost Years of Jesus? Okay, that's always interesting. We'll talk about vortexes, sacred geometry, Nibiru, Planet X, galactivation. I need some galactivation. Just a heck of a lot more. We're talking about the Star Knowledge Asheville Conference with a great panel. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. We're coming right back with hour two after this short break. Don't touch that dial.